Start.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your role and since when?
I'm a Geschäftsführer, the Hollywood Managing Partner,
mm-hmm.
since 1999.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah. So how many years of experience do you have with software development or mobile app development?
Mobile app development, that is, let me think, we started in 2015.
So about so 5 years.
5 years. 4 years. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's say 4 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how many years of experience you have with gathering requirements?
Within the mobile app or
no, not necessarily, but you can tell me both if you have.
When we started regarding mobile apps, that's 4 years ago. We had to collect the requirements. And in an overall thing, since we started in 1999, because the first day we started developing software for our customers, so
right.
requirements were a very important part of gathering requirements. Yeah.
And what is your academic background? So are you a computer engineering background or you come from?
I'm a, how do you call it in English? I'm an FH engineer, it's a Fachhochschule,
okay.
bachelor, and then a master degree in business administration.
Okay, so you have both the backgrounds.
Yeah.
Good. Do you read anything regarding your work? Maybe online blogs, articles, or
yes.
any publications?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have several journals. They get sent every second week, I think. And I even don't know what they're called, but it's German and Swiss German,
mm-hmm.
IT industrial
right.
journals.
So you keep yourself updated by
mm-hmm.
doing
things. Yes.
Whatever techniques you use for gathering requirements?
I expected this question. I'm prepared to.
So
how are you going to answer this
yeah.
question? Yeah. The point is, we don't have any process.
Mm-hmm.
Not as you mentioned, I saw your questions you sent me that 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a model or a process, a defined process. The point is that we have very much contact with our customers.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe it's a little bit different to other persons you made an interview. We only have business customers, I mean
mm-hmm.
private customers. That's why it's much easier for us to get input from them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. We have a steady contact with our customers and we know what they need and what they don't need.
Okay.
But it's not a process written down somewhere on the slides, so it's a
right.
steady.
Right. So it's more or less self-taught, let's say, an experience.
Yes, yeah, okay. yeah, yeah. I do a lot of presentations when I'm on my way for sales all over
mm-hmm.
Switzerland, when we sell our platform, and there you get lots of input. Where they say, very nice mobile app, but it would be nice when, and then I go back and we have an own tooling here,
mm-hmm.
where we collect all the changes, so
mm-hmm.
the requirements, and then we start prioritizing it and deciding whether we put it into the platform
yeah.
or not. Yeah. That's
a bit about your company now. How many employees you have?
Eight.
Okay. And so which are the geographical areas you target for your apps? Is it just Switzerland, Europe?
At the moment Switzerland, yes.
Switzerland.
But in half a year we will expand to Austria and Germany.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any of the offices?
There's only this
only
one.
The office,
only
yeah.
this one, yes.
Okay. And how many apps do you have? I mean, just one.
Just one.
Is it public or is it?
It is public in a public cloud.
Okay.
But you can download it, but you cannot use it because you don't have any access. If you don't have access rights.
So you can download it from app stores?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
From a Google Play Store and from the iOS store. Yes.
Okay.
But when you start it, you don't have an access
okay.
access rights.
Is it free or paid?
It's free.
It's free.
The special thing is you need to use it within our platform.
Okay.
So the app is part of our platform.
Okay.
So when a customer decides to use the platform, he has to pay.
Okay, okay.
But he doesn't pay
for the app.
For the app itself.
Okay. And can you tell me how many users you have for this app?
At the moment, let's say 150 users.
150?
Yeah.
Okay.
Registered users.
Mm-hmm. Okay. About a bit of policies. Mm-hmm. Do you have any official language of communication within the company?
Swiss German.
Swiss German, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. But, so your developers are also Swiss German?
Yes.
German. Okay. Do you build only mobile apps or software in general as well?
I didn't get the question. Only mobile apps or?
Or software.
Both.
Both, yeah?
Both, yeah. Okay.
Which app stores or platforms do you support for mobile apps? iOS, Android?
Both, yes.
Both, yeah?
That it's no Windows, no whatever else. Yeah.
It's obsolete.
It's obsolete.
It's a history.
Yeah.
And who decides the platforms? Is it you or is it the customer? Or do you have a customer as such, or is it you who build the product?
It's us. We build the product.
So yeah. Okay.
It's our product. Our
it
own
is
product.
Your product.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in this case, you only decided the platforms.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's based on the expectations from our customers.
Good.
Yeah.
So you are a product-based company. You are not service-based. So you do not provide services. I mean, you do not.
It depends on what you mean with services. Ours is a software as a service product we do have here.
So what I mean is, you do not build software for other companies.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. You did that already.
Yes. Until end of last year.
Okay.
So we switched our strategy. From now on, we don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. We only are based on our platform here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, could you tell me a bit about how the teams look like in a company?
Mm-hmm.
What roles do they have and so on?
So we have a... You mean the special or the roles of
so
the
correct.
Team? Yeah.
Yeah.
There is one managing partner, that's me.
Yeah.
There is one CEO,
mm-hmm.
and the rest are software developers.
They're developers.
Yeah, and the CEO is also developing software.
Mm-hmm. And I think you said you have... So the team would have, I think, 6 or 7
mm-hmm,
people, right?
Mm-hmm, right, yeah.
Good. You also said this. So, you do not have any customers as such? Or do you have any business partners?
Business partners, no. Customers, yes.
Customers?
Business partners, no, no. Business partners, you mean partners which are the companies and they also are based on our platform. That's what you mean, these business partners?
Mm-hmm.
Or?
I think this question would not be related to Europe because what I was going to ask is in which phases of the product development are the customers involved? Where the point is, when do you gather requirements from your customers?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mm-hmm. gather requirements at all from customers, first of all? Or
yes, we do.
Yeah?
Yes, we do, yes.
And in that case, in which phases are they involved?
So the situation we have is that our platform is very, how do you say it, mature.
Mm-hmm.
And there are only some kind of small changes which we
mm-hmm.
get, with requirements we get from our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me that requirement. They
okay.
say, okay, dear iClip, it would be great if blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And then there where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at the very beginning, I would say. From
beginning, yeah.
It's the very beginning, yeah. Because okay. we get input from them, but we also have own ideas how
mm-hmm.
to expand and how to put in new functionality. But it's a basically it's when it comes from a customer, when it is a requirement, then it comes from the very very beginning.
Okay. Does it happen that because your customers they are experienced,
mm-hmm.
They have some experience, let's say with mobile apps or with software in general?
Mm-hmm.
Does it influence your work? In good or
yes,
bad?
Definitely, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely, yes.
Could you reflect on that? Is it good? Is it bad?
It is good, yeah.
It is good?
But it's also very challenging for us because...
Good in what sense?
Pardon?
Good in what sense? In how good it is? I mean, why? Is it good?
Because it brings us further. Because the customer compares our mobile app with
mm-hmm.
regular apps he uses every day, like WhatsApp,
mm-hmm.
like whatever. And then he expects more or less that our app works more or less as
similar.
The other one,
okay.
which is built by a US company with 1,000
mm-hmm.
or more developers. So it's kind of challenging, but it's good, yes.
Good. These questions are a bit off-bit, but I think they're important. Have you ever encountered any security breach in your apps or in your app?
security issues, you mean? Mm-hmm. No, not yet, no.
Okay.
No. Mm. No, very professional. No. So, but no, we haven't met, no.
Have you faced any legal challenges so far?
Yes, we did, yeah.
Could you? But,
it's about the Datenschutz.
Right.
It's about the Datenschutz,
mm-hmm.
but not when it started the discussion in May.
It's
May 2018, it started earlier. Yes.
Okay.
It's the question of our customers whether it's allowed to set to store data outside Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
because we use Microsoft as our mm-hmm. platform, and servers are in Holland and
mm-hmm.
Ireland.
Right.
So, and our customers are cities and communes, and
mm-hmm.
they ask whether they are allowed to put the data
correct
on these servers in Holland and in Ireland. That's
right.
Yeah.
This is like the answer which I got. Since GDPR, everybody is more sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In that context, do you have legal experts in the team? Or
not in the team, outside. We have a company which works for us.
So it's you outsource the legal
yes,
work, yeah?
Yes, yeah. We don't have it on our own, no.
Do you have any copyrights or patents for any of your software?
We have copyrights. We have on the name, mm-hmm. on the software name,
mm-hmm.
there is a Markenschutz, it's
mm-hmm. brand identity.
It's a brand identity, yes. But we don't have any patents, no.
Yeah, and it's not a concern, it's not really,
mm-hmm.
it's not important.
No, because I'm quite sure if a large company or other company thinks that they have to copy it, what you are doing, then they will do it. So,
there's no sense. Good. So, now we will really talk about the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So, could you describe the process of app development within your company? Since the customer comes to you and until you have your first release of the product, how does it look? How do you start? What you do next?
Mm-hmm. As I said before, it's kind of, maybe it's a little bit special what we are doing
mm-hmm.
here, because we don't do lots of development of different apps.
Mm-hmm.
It's always one. We are only talking about one specific app of our product, and the point is, as I said, it's quite mature. And what happens is that we internally decide what we will do within the next version. At the moment, we are on the platform version number 3,
mm-hmm.
and we have a new version every 18 months, maybe
mm-hmm.
a large software version. And the discussion starts.
You mean just version for the app or the platform?
Both together. It goes in parallel.
Okay.
It goes in parallel because the app is highly connected to the platform.
Okay.
So that means when we extend the platform with major functionality, we need
mm-hmm.
to do the same on the app as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes together in parallel.
Okay.
So the process, if we can talk about the process, is that we decide what is to do for the next large version step,
mm-hmm.
and then we include requirements we have
mm-hmm.
collected, as I said before, from mm-hmm. presentations, from whatever, phone calls from
mm-hmm.
our existing customers. We include it and do make a package for the next version.
Okay.
That's not very rocket science, but
right.
it's basically what
mm-hmm.
we are doing, yes. And we discuss it, and the normal thing is, what happens is that you have much more ideas and requirements
mm-hmm.
than you can then at the end integrate into the platform, because it's a question about time and money, and so we have to make a prioritization and say, okay, this and this can be done, and we have to skip some other requirements
mm-hmm.
for the next version.
Good. If we consider the entire project as 100%,
mm-hmm.
right, from you have some new requirements, I mean you collect the requirements, you analyze them, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and you develop, and then you release. So if this is a 100% process, how much percent of it would you allocate for requirement specific tasks?
From collecting the requirement until end of implementation. That's the time span you mean.
That's 100%.
That's 100% until deployment.
Correct. So I had different answers. People said 5%, 10%.
I would say 10 max. Yeah. 10 max.
Good.
Yeah, max.
Do you have any challenges regarding cost and budget? I don't suppose, because you because you do not have any customer as such who pays you for building the app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have it directly, but we still do have it because we have our own budget, product platform budget.
Mm-hmm.
The resources which are allocated to that project, and so there we also have challenges. Yeah.
Could you name a few of the challenges?
Features which would be or which are required,
mm-hmm.
but we don't have time to do it and money. So that's the basic challenge. It would also be nice to have whatever, but we don't have time anymore. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, but it's not only time; it's also the money,
correct.
The resources to integrate that, and that's the most important challenge mm-hmm. we do have normally.
How many customers usually participate in this process?
Of requirement gathering?
Correct.
We have different customers. Some of them we never hear something, and others are very much integrated, and we also have a steady contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say half of them are.
Could you number?
The platform is used at the moment by 8 customers, and 4 of them, 3 to 4, are very much integrated into it. Yeah.
Okay. Have you asked your customers ever that if they face any problems regarding anything,
mm-hmm.
regarding the entire process of working with you or
mm-hmm.
building the software, or during gathering requirements and so on?
Whether they have problems?
Mm-hmm. Or
so they like what we are doing.
Okay.
So
it works perfectly.
It works perfectly. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also get the confirmation from our customers that they like it when we try to integrate their
mm-hmm.
requirements, and that they like it. Yeah. And as I said before, there are some customers who do not care at all. So
okay.
They just use the platform. And
how do you communicate with them?
By phone, by physical, how do you say that? Just presence, meetings,
yeah.
So I visit them sometime,
mm-hmm.
and then we can talk about the platform, about the mobile app, and yeah, that's how we can collect that.
And who is allowed to talk to them? Do your developers also talk to them, or is it just
normally not?
Normally not
the developers.
And
no.
Why could you say that? For example, like I asked this question also to the
mm-hmm.
others, and they said, we really want that the developers should focus on their work and should not be distracted by all the communication and so on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons, yeah.
And also, sometimes it is helpful to talk directly to customers
mm-hmm.
because then you can solve the problems quite faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Technical problems.
Mm-hmm.
How would you?
Yeah, that's the first thing you said. That's really a point. I don't want to get them distracted. And the second thing is that sometimes you need to translate the business process to functionality.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have some special know-how how
mm-hmm.
the customer works, because that's not exactly how the app works.
Mm-hmm.
And this translation is very important. And
developers
are not, because it's not about intelligence, but it's about
experience
and
mm-hmm.
about the use cases, the regular use cases where our app and our platform is used.
Correct.
So that's the main important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You somehow have to translate that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is responsible for doing market research or user research? Is it you?
Mm-hmm. That's me as a salesperson. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How does it work? How do you know the users?
The users.
Mm-hmm.
Experience, lots of
mm-hmm.
talks, lots of phone calls,
mm-hmm.
How you say it, in German you call it Kaltakquise, it's when you just pick up your phone and just call somebody who have never heard from you before, so you get lots of inputs there, and, and you get about your competitors, about requirements, about whatever, that's
okay.
How we collect it. Yeah. And the second thing is we also visit some conferences and network
mm-hmm.
meetings, and there we also
Do you still collect requirements about the users, or do you already know now that okay, these are our users, so you already have this understanding?
We still collect.
You still collect,
yeah. And we have very special users. That was our first user here in Bern. Mm-hmm. He's located in Bern. And they have visited them twice when they are on the road and use our app.
Mm-hmm.
And they just see what they are doing. And sometimes they say, Marcus, I don't like this, it takes too much time. And so then I go back to the office and tell that to my colleagues that we have to do something. So it's very face-to-face contact. That mm-hmm. we can do that because we don't have so many customers.
I think users are here in Switzerland.
Yes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one user is special, one is in here in Bern, city of Bern,
mm-hmm.
so it's very easy for me. And sometimes I see them by coincidence when they are on the road, they use it on the road, they clean buildings, and
yeah.
I can just go to them and say hello, cool. How is it? How does it work? So that's very, very nice.
So this question wouldn't really make sense for you. So you don't have to consider differences between users because you have Swiss users. The question was more or less like, a Japanese user would be much more different
mm-hmm.
than a Swiss user.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, how do you make assumptions about these users? But you, I think, do not face such challenges.
Not at the moment. What we will do, as I said before, we want to expand to Germany and Austria.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more or less, it's about the business process.
Mm-hmm.
We are powered by our mobile app,
mm-hmm.
and I assume that it's the same.
Okay.
I don't know whether it would be the same in Japan, but I never thought about that. But basically, it's the same, and I don't have to take care of that.
Yeah. Do you know this word, non-functional requirements? Non-functional requirements. Which is more about a case of mobile apps, let's say performance, design, how fast it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So these kind of requirements, do you also collect those?
Yes, definitely, yes. Definitely, yes. Especially with the performance of the app. So we had in the beginning we had several performance issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very important thing. Yeah.
How do you collect those?
Basically you get
experience, and then
you get service calls.
Mm-hmm.
We have a call platform where you can put some issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is what we see also is I don't know how is it called. It's in some software code on our app. Which
mm-hmm.
sends us
the data
messages when mm-hmm. as soon as the mobile app crashes,
mm-hmm.
and we see that on the
desktop. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Do you do prototyping for the app?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. We do that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me how useful it is? Does it take time? Is it costly, or is it good?
It is very good.
It is very good.
It is very good. Yes, we need that. Yeah. Yeah. Prototyping, definitely.
Can you give me a couple of advantages what you get because of prototyping?
The user interface itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the very important things, and which data is shown. Because normally, when you have an engineering approach,
mm-hmm.
you think a lot about what kind of data do I have. So basically, I show everything, but it doesn't make sense from a user perspective. So you have to be very, very aware of how or what you show
mm-hmm.
and how the whole interaction with the user works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big advantage of prototyping and testing and trying, and that's very, very important.
Who does the designing part? Do you have design experts within the team? Or
Yes, we have two designing experts. Yes.
So they do the designing?
But they are also basic, let's say, software developers,
mm-hmm.
but they have a special focus on UI mm-hmm. design.
So you do not outsource the designing part?
We did before, but we did not do a very good experience with that. Maybe it was the wrong...
It was the wrong decision?
The wrong party, I don't know.
Okay. The decision, okay.
Maybe we will try it again, because we are not a very big expert,
mm-hmm.
but the ones, we did that twice.
Mm-hmm.
So the advantages were not that good. We just paid, and we did not sell.
That's interesting. Because almost for every company I interview, they outsource designing work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's just too time consuming, first
mm-hmm.
of all. And it's very tricky because users usually look at the design.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't like the design, they just don't use that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But that's also maybe a little bit different to the other persons you were talking to. Our mobile app is not for fun. It's a business app.
Correct.
So that means when the boss says you have to use it, then
you have to use
they have to use it. Yes.
Right.
Even if they don't like the color or they don't like the buttons, they
correct.
Have to use it. So it's a little bit different. Yes.
Right. Do you have any group sessions with your customers, like workshops or?
We have webinars.
Webinars.
That's what we're doing. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Webinars, regular webinars, and also webinars when we have major new versions, then we make a webinar.
And what's the impression? How effective they are?
From us, it's very effective. I don't know whether it's effective from a customer perspective, but for us, it means it takes us some preparation time and 1 hour
mm-hmm.
to do it this webinar, and then it's done. Otherwise, the other thing would be that we contact each of our customer and
right.
don't have the time.
How many people usually participate in that?
20, 30 maybe, yeah.
So you can, at the same time, you can talk to almost 20 people, that's
mm-hmm. right.
quite
yeah.
useful.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
save time.
Definitely, yes, yes.
Do you use any mobile tools? Or do you know any features of mobile devices which you can use for gallery requirements, like camera or user location and so on?
We don't use no. And I don't know any.
Do your customers, they have any preference regarding a specific operating system like iOS or Android?
Of the operating system,
mm-hmm.
I think it's 50-50. Yeah.
It's 50-50?
Yeah. The interesting thing is that the higher the level of within the organization, the more iOS we have, and the lower
yeah,
are,
the
more
Android.
Right. Yeah. It's very kind of interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So which tools do you use for collecting requirements, or managing them, and so on?
We have a DevOps tool of Microsoft Azure. It's,
mm-hmm.
Earlier it was called Microsoft Team Services,
yeah.
Now it's called DevOps. That's what we are using
mm-hmm.
yeah. for collecting requirements and
handling
them and assigning them to sprints. And,
any other tools which you use for communication or so on?
Communication within the company or
mm-hmm.
external?
Within the company.
We're a small company, and normally we
just
talk and then the basic things like Microsoft Teams and
mm-hmm.
and yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
But Microsoft Teams is also established in our company because sometimes we work at home and Teams is the one. Yeah.
Do you also collect privacy requirements or security requirements? Or
yes, definitely yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You mean from a user security, from a user perspective,
or for the customers?
Or for the customers, huh? Yeah, we do that, yes.
And who is? How do you do that? Because who is the expert in that?
That's our CEO, COO,
mm-hmm.
and the chief of development.
Mm-hmm.
He is. The collection or the input is coming from the customer.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally it goes to me, but then I hand it over to him,
mm-hmm.
and he's collecting that and take care of that. Yeah, yeah. We have a very very special, or we use this a single sign-on mechanism
mm-hmm.
that you can enter your Google password and there we had some. It was not issues, but there we had some. Some, let's call it some challenges,
correct.
And they resolved them. And so, but the requirements, is that correct, my answer?
It's very hard to gather such requirements because
mm-hmm.
neither your user, neither your customers, they have enough adequate knowledge about it.
Yeah, that's a correct answer, sorry. It's
mm-hmm.
like this, they don't care.
They don't care, yeah?
They don't care.
This is what I've heard, mostly.
That's correct, yes. They don't care because they just expect that it works.
They care only when they get the consequences,
right,
when
yeah.
they realize something.
Right, yeah. No, that's correct, yeah. My answer was wrong before. Yeah. That's a basic thing. They don't care. They just use it. And the only thing when they care, when I can't log in, because you need to log in
mm-hmm.
onto our system also, over the mobile app, you have to log in, and if it doesn't work, then you get a call, but if it works, then everything is fine.
Correct. Do legal issues change the way you collect requirements? For example, now you have GDPR, so mm-hmm. you have to be really careful about certain things.
Mm-hmm. We do have, we're more sensitive now since it started, this discussion. As I said before, it did not start in 2018, it started before in 2015 mm-hmm. when we deployed the first version of Remover. But yes, definitely.
Are there any other issues apart from GDPR which could be influential for requirements? Legal things. Like your customer might have a patent or copyrights on certain things like that.
No. What you have is that's also maybe a little bit special. Our customer needs to sign a contract,
mm-hmm.
and in this contract, several things, legal things, are agreed on.
Mm-hmm.
That means, for example, what is a we need pictures in our process. So he's taking pictures when he starts the process with his mobile app, mm-hmm. and it could happen that some pictures are not allowed on a platform because there are
sure such kind of issues.
Whatever, yeah. But this is part of the legal contract we have. So we have that signed by the customer, and if we see that some let's call it bad pictures are stored,
mm-hmm.
then we have to.
But this thing you must have learned through your experience. Right, that such instances can happen.
We learned it by some help from Microsoft. We got a basic template, contract uh-huh. template for this kind of contract, and there uh-huh. it was mentioned.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I copied that contract and adapted it to our needs, and then I sent it to our lawyer, and he went through again. But the basic
it's from
stuff is coming from Microsoft.
Great.
Regarding, for example, this picture issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's now talk a bit about the second part of the interview, where we will try to see if mobile applications are, if at all, different than softwares.
Mm-hmm.
If how, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, in your opinion, what are the major differences between mobile app development and normal web app development or software development? I will also try to give you some hints,
mm-hmm.
but you start
mm-hmm.
first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What we see is that, or the challenge we do have is that it's a totally different user group we
mm-hmm.
do have when they use our mobile app
mm-hmm.
compared to a web development. It's totally different. That's the basic challenge. It must be very, very easy to handle the software,
mm-hmm.
sorry, the mobile app.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the challenges we do have because, when you're on a platform, a business platform, as our platform, where you can also access from within a browser,
mm-hmm.
then you have more experienced persons who sit in an office.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones who are using our app, they are not very familiar with. Basically with software, they are familiar with some apps sometimes they use
mm-hmm.
privately as well, but that's a very important challenge, and the point is it must be very, very, very easy to handle. Otherwise they will not use it.
Mm-hmm.
They tell it to their boss and the boss calls me and says it's too complicated. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the very a very important thing. It must be very, very easy. Self explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think of? It is also about the development process.
Mm-hmm.
So the development process for mobile apps, is it different than web app development or software development, what you did before?
What we're doing is we do more updates on the mobile part.
Mm-hmm.
Because of whatever issues and small changes,
mm-hmm.
that's also a difference to the web platform part,
mm-hmm.
and that's regarding the development process.
So I will give you an example. When you have a web application,
Mm-hmm.
It is very easy and fast to deploy new changes.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to mobile apps, you are dependent or limited by app stores,
mm-hmm.
because they have their own
mm-hmm.
policies,
mm-hmm.
and they have their own workflows.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not usual that you will deploy new changes a couple of times a day,
mm-hmm.
but you really have to plan your releases
mm-hmm.
in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of, for the team, kills the flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
That's correct, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you depend on the other part, yes.
Yeah.
When you deploy it on the iOS.
So would you consider this as a difference to normal software development?
Definitely, yes.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a good input, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yeah. Because when we want to do a deployment on the server, on the platform server, then we do it whenever we want it. Yeah. When we do it on the iOS store, then we have to go through all these steps, like this beta and whatever, and then before it is released, it takes another 24 to 48 hours. Yeah, that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's correct, yes, for the deployment. Yeah.
Do non-functional requirements like performance, speed,
mm-hmm.
crashes, etc.
Mm-hmm.
play a different role for mobile apps than they do for normal software or web apps?
Performance, no, both. If the performance is not good, whether it's on the web platform or on the mobile app, then we have an issue. No, there's no difference.
So you don't think it is?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
It has to work on both. Yeah.
So I will give you the kind of answers I want for these questions. The guys which I met yesterday, they said, when you are using a web application,
mm-hmm.
and if it is slow, people usually think that it is the browser that makes it slow. So they kind of assume it. But when it comes to mobile apps, they always think, no, this is developer's fault. They have to make it fast. So do you observe anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
No.
When our users see, we had an issue half a year ago in one of the major views on our platform on the browser, and it was slow.
Mm-hmm.
It was a database query issue. No, they don't like it at all, no. They just called us, they did not call or did not say that it's a browser, no.
Mm-hmm.
They called us. Yeah. No, I can't, no.
Okay,
but I can't confirm that, no.
Good.
No.
The way you gather requirements,
mm-hmm.
does it differ for mobile apps than your?
No.
No.
No, definitely not. No.
Good. What are the biggest challenges for gathering requirements when it comes to mobile apps?
The challenges?
Mm-hmm.
What we have is that the users of the web app,
mm-hmm.
we have this is a certain party, and yeah, and they are not mobile, let's say it like that. They're not mobile, and we get much more feedback from them. But getting feedback from a user with our mobile app, that's much more different and much more difficult. What I said is sometimes I see one of these guys on the road, but it's different for me to catch them and to get the requirements from them. It's
okay.
Much more different. I get the requirements from them over their bosses,
mm-hmm.
who I visit sometime. So it's like this.
Okay. So you do not have access to the end users directly?
That's the point, yeah. To the end users of the mobile app.
Right, mobile app.
The mobile end users of our platform, yes, but not to the mobile app.
Okay.
That's an issue, yeah. Yeah. That's a very big issue. Not from a requirement perspective, but also from a marketing perspective. It's quite a kind of different, difficult. Yeah.
Also, I'll give you kind of hints which I heard from my previous interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked already about app stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it also happened quite multiple times that the app stores, they changed their policies.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the things which were allowed before, they were not allowed anymore,
mm-hmm.
the kind of changes.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to change things or redo the work, what they did already.
On the app, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why also it is kind of one of the challenges for them.
Mm-hmm. For the developers.
Correct.
What happened in the last couple months was that some security changes were applied from Apple, and then you have to do it for the next release. Yeah.
So this is kind of different.
That is different. That's correct. Yes, it's a third party like Apple or Google who tells us sometimes what we have to do or not to do anymore. Yeah. That's correct. Yes.
Also, like I'll give some more examples here. When you are doing normal web development, you are just open to choose any technology you want. But when it comes to mobile development, there are just two companies. It's either Apple or it's Google. So whatever they decide, you have to follow.
Yeah, but the development platform, you have more choice to say. But the development for the development platform itself, especially when you go to hybrid apps or HTML5 or whatever, then for some within a certain range you can decide it from your own.
Right.
Then for the deployment itself, then of course you only have two platforms. You have to make sure that it works. And then what you experience as well, maybe that's also part of your question, is that we have lots of operating systems in place on all these devices, and you get crazy.
Yes.
When testing it. That's also a very big challenge.
Yeah.
Even more challenging than using the browser.
Right.
There it goes.
So for the testing, because you mentioned it, do you have testers within the team or do you outsource it?
No, we don't outsource it. We test it on our own.
You do it on your own?
Yeah.
Do you do it manually or do you have automated
process? On data level, we do it automatically. On user interface level, we do it manually.
Manually?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had several talks within the last couple of months to also do it automatically on the UI level, but it did not happen yet because of high effort needed to do so.
App stores like Google Play or Apple App Store, they have their own checks. For example, this is not the case anymore, but Google Play, they used to have a limit for maximum number of methods you can have. It was like 60,000 methods, you cannot have more than that.
Okay.
So did you ever encounter such problems? Or for example, Apple has very strict guidelines about design. So did you ever face any challenges there?
Yes, we did. Definitely, yes.
Yes?
Hold on, rejected. We got onto the issue earlier when we tested it internally. Then we saw that we have an issue.
But you had to be really consciously make decisions because you were aware that there are the checks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We tested it internally and saw that we have issues because it's not covering the requirements of Apple, for example. It's not that we experienced it while deploying it on the platform. We experienced it earlier. Very embarrassing.
The decisions you make regarding requirements, do they also depend on factors such as operating system versions, mobile devices, different mobile devices, different screen sizes and so on,
or
external libraries,
their
versions? Yes?
Definitely.
Do you have any examples perhaps where you face with challenges?
Regarding different devices, you mean, or different sizes of devices? Definitely, it's in each and every screen we have. When you have to test it on our the most popular sizes, and it's an incredible number of hours you can invest for testing it.
For instance, what I heard yesterday is, you did not usually have this problem with iOS, with Apple and iPhones, because they usually were standard. But Apple decided all of a sudden to go with the big screen.
The big screen, yeah.
And then you really had to adapt to it quite fast.
And we don't have, maybe it's too easy our user interface that we did not challenge these problems, but there's a difference between Apple and the Android part. We see very, very different behaviors sometimes.
Could you give me an example, perhaps, if you can think?
Drop-down list, for example.
Drop-down list.
Drop-down list,
or a thing is, as I said before, we our business use case is based on pictures as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is upload and show the thumbnail of the picture,
mm-hmm.
and the thumbnail sometimes doesn't appear on the Android. So why doesn't it appear?
Right.
And the second thing is also we're facing is the how do you say that? The compression of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
It happens differently on both operating systems. These are examples we faced in the past month.
Mm. Do you consider the troubles that might be faced by special people, such as old people or blind people, if you have such users? Do you
mm-hmm.
consider special requirements for them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely. Yes. Yes. Because we have some of our users are 50 and above, or maybe mm-hmm. 60 and above, and that's what I said before. It must very very easy. So that we have a huge
font size.
Font size. Huge. How do you say that?
The colors
buttons and, mm-hmm. And very.
So you make consciously you make decisions about those.
Yes,
things.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. It has to be very very easy to handle, and also for people above 50. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Did you face any challenges such as the maximum app size while publishing?
Let me think. I'm not a developer, but. Let me think. The app size? No, no, we haven't.
No.
So
now the questions. This is more or less like rapid fire. So mm-hmm. I'll give you one keyword, and you tell me if this particular thing is crucial for mobile app.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Power consumption.
No. Not that I know, but do we know? Maybe somebody doesn't know, but it's basically
but
not.
I got no for
mm-hmm.
most of
uh-huh.
Different mobile phones and operating system generations.
That's challenging. Definitely challenging, yes.
Third-party libraries and their versions.
No, we are not.
So you don't use them?
No.
Okay. Mobile ads and revenue generation through mobile advertisements.
No, because we don't use it.
You don't use it. User feedback on app stores or social media platforms?
Good question.
So do you receive feedback on...
Sometimes we receive, but not enough. But we receive sometimes, yeah. But I expect more. I'd like
more.
To have more, so let's say it like this.
And do you react to it?
Yes, we do, yes.
Yes?
Yeah,
so it is important for you?
But it would be much more important if I get more feedback from them. Yeah, that's a little bit challenging. I'd like to have more than we definitely
mm-hmm.
get. Yeah.
Data privacy.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Legal constraints.
That's what I said before. Yeah, that's an important part of it. Yeah.
So for you, revenue generation through your mobile app is not a requirement, I suppose.
No, because it's based on the platform itself, and for a mobile app, no.
So these are my last two questions, and I just want you to reflect on these things.
Mm-hmm.
What is your impression about hybrid applications?
Hybrid applications?
Do you have any experience within the company, or have you thought about it?
Let's do it like this. I go and ask my colleague.
Sure.
Give me 1 second, please.
Yes.
Then
but then I have
to... Hello.
Question once again, please.
Yes, sure. So, you know hybrid apps.
Yes.
What is your impression about hybrid apps? Good points, bad points?
It depends.
Good.
Well, as long as the functionality is not too much tied to the platform, the thing is running on, then I rather prefer hybrid apps.
Mm-hmm. Are they economical to build compared to native apps?
Not really.
I
don't think so.
What about performance?
Nowadays, with the newer devices you have, mobile devices especially, it's not really a problem anymore.
Do you have any particular framework?
Well, we are not building Android apps currently. We are using Xamarin for cross-platform apps, but not hybrid.
Ionic?
No.
No, okay.
Well, what I know is Cordova.
Cordova and Ionic, yeah.
It's successful for PhoneGap, Cordova thing.
Right.
This is what we have tried a couple of years ago, but at that time the performance wasn't that good. So.
Are hybrid apps good in certain instances and not in other?
As I said, when the functionality is not too much tied to the operating system, it's running on the
app,
it's okay. For sort of business apps, it's okay.
Right.
Once you have, if you really need high performing things, okay, if you need to calculate in on the device itself, then it might be not the best thing. Of course, then native is better.
And then my next question is also a little bit related to that. What is your impression about progressive web apps? Have you heard of those?
I heard of it, but we're not doing these things. But
okay.
We actually have one or two apps that we're developing, and they're more business-like things.
Okay.
How is it called?
Progressive web apps.
Progressive web apps. Okay.
So the idea of progressive web apps is it's like a normal web application or a website, but you can have an icon on your mobile phone, and then it works.
Okay.
We think about maybe doing that one time.
This is interesting because then we had a discussion last time about how do you compare hybrid apps with progressive web apps, which are better in that case. Because what advantage you get with progressive web apps is that you bypass app stores, the workflows with app store. So they work like mobile apps, and you don't have to depend on app stores.
The actual deploying money first locally at the end.
Right.
So this is where everything is described, where you get your sources, so that it's actually JavaScript thing.
But it doesn't run within the mobile device browser.
Yes, it does.
It does.
But it's just a URL that you send to the viewer.
No, it's more. It's a packaging kind of offline storage of the application. So, for instance, what we are doing with our Curacita, the new Angular UI, that would be an idea to just download it to have your locally stored thing. And well, it's not a big difference. At the end of the day, you need to connect to the server anyway. So it doesn't really matter whether you go by a URL or you have a hybrid app. In our case, you need the connectivity anyway. So.
But not the app store itself.
If you have an app that just runs locally, that doesn't need can be offline thing, for instance, then it's okay, then it's very good. If you have some offline functionality where you use the local browser storage, for instance, or even access the device, a couple of things you can do, and it runs in the browser.
Okay.
So if you do not have any native features like camera or then you can have discussion about hybrid apps and progressive web apps.
We had that discussion as well. Because, as I said before, we use the camera intensively within our mobile app, and that's a very important function.
Great. So we're done with the questions. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks
Thank you.
To you too.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And I can just stop this thing.